broadcasting nationwide and coast to coast. It's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging, deplorable American.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride. Oh, yeah.
From the Liberty University broadcast studio, it's Todd Starnes.
Well, hello, everybody. Welcome to Hour 2 of the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Great to have you with us today on this Monday edition of the program. Hope you and the family are getting ready to have a great Independence Day celebration. I wonder if there are going to be any towns around the country that are going to still have fireworks displays, still do the 4th of July parade and have the big festivities, the red, white, and blue, and the marching bands and the Sousa marches. I wonder how many communities, if your local town is going to do one, we'd love to hear from you, because a lot of big cities have decided they're not going to have 4th of July celebrations. And it really puzzles me, because these are the same cities that have no problem letting tens of thousands of people march in the streets and burn things down and topple statues. That's okay. But you can't get together to go to church or have a big 4th of July celebration. It's okay in New York City to use fireworks to try and set homeless people on fire, but you're not allowed to have fireworks that actually explode in the air to celebrate America. 844-747-8868 is our toll-free number. That's 844-747-8868. We will go to the phone lines in this hour of the show. Our website is toddstarnes.com, and all sorts of great stories for you there, including our live show blog, which is up and running at this very moment. Well, many of you know that I have been a longtime supporter of religious liberty. I have been defending people of faith who are under attack. And we especially get angry on this radio program when members of the United States military come under attack for their religious beliefs. This was standard operating procedure during the Obama administration and the Obama years. And sadly, a good many of the leaders that President Obama put in charge of the Pentagon are still around and causing all sorts of mayhem. Well, earlier this morning, I received an urgent note from our good friends over at First Liberty Institute, and the subject line is rather shocking. U.S. Navy bans troops from indoor religious services. Well, to help us figure out what the heck is going on here, our good friend Mike Berry from First Liberty Institute. Mike, good to have you back with us.
It's great to be back with you, Todd.
All right. So, Mike, what's going on here?
Well, this is a pretty outrageous development in the U.S. Navy. And late last week, actually on the 24th of June, I was alerted by a number of very concerned service members, including officers and chaplains and others, that the Navy had recently issued an order that because of the COVID-19 pandemic, they were banning every person who is assigned to a Navy command, which would mean either, you know, at a what they call shore duty. So if you're assigned to a Navy unit that's inland, or if you're assigned to a Navy vessel, you are not allowed to attend indoor religious services. And it's just a flat ban. There's no exception provided. What was really interesting, though, is that in this order, there are a number of other things that are permitted, where they said, you know, you can do these things, but just make sure you're following, you know, social distancing, et cetera. And among those things that were listed was, you know, using mass transit, going to the grocery store, and one that I thought was particularly problematic, which was you can even host a party at your house with any number of people. And, without any prohibition on that, even if somebody in your house tests positive for COVID-19, you can still host the party. They just want you to be really careful about it. But you can't go to church.
So I understand there was an individual within the Air Force, Major Daniel Schultz, and he has retained you guys in this matter. What happened to him?
Well, yeah, I mean, just even over the course of this morning and late last night, we've had a number of clients who have come to us now who've asked us to represent them at First Liberty Institute. So it's not just Major Schultz. It's actually a number of folks now who are subject to this order. But Major Schultz, For just to clarify any confusion, he is an Air Force officer, but he's actually assigned to a Navy unit. So because he's assigned to a Navy unit, he is subject to this order. And he is a devout Christian. He's actually a member of his church's worship team. So even during the height of the lockdown or the shutdown, if you will, during the pandemic, he was still one of the people that was permitted to go to the church and perform with the worship team. You know, he's a musician, and that they would just stream that live because it was only, you know, a handful of people that would go in and perform, so they were under the limit. But now he's not even allowed to go do that. So even though his church is open and people are able to go, he's not allowed to go. And if he does, the Navy can court-martial him for violating this order.
So your argument here, the First Liberty's argument, is that this is a violation of the Religious Freedom Restoration Act of 1993. So first of all, explain to our listeners what that act does, what does it protect, and how is this a violation?
Well, what the Religious Freedom Restoration Act does, or RFRA as it's known, is it sets a standard for the government. If the government is going to substantially burden somebody's religious belief, and it's funny we even talk about this, Todd, because for years when I was, you know, teaching law students or explaining to new lawyers what we mean when we say if the government were to substantially burden somebody's religious belief, the hypothetical that we would always use, because it was just so outrageous and outlandish, would be, you know, let's say, for example, the government bans you from going to church. Well, yet here we are. It's no longer a hypothetical, right? It's actually real. But if the government were to ban you from going to church, the government would have to show that the ban on going to church is done to further a compelling government interest, and that doing so is the banning you from going to church is the least restrictive way of furthering that interest. So in this context, the U.S. Navy is going to have to prove, in order to not violate RFRA and the Constitution, the Navy has to say there's some compelling government interest in banning people from going to church. Now, sure, they could say, well, we don't want to spread COVID-19. That's probably a compelling interest. Okay, I grant them that. But then they have to say, and there's no less restrictive way of doing it. We have to ban people from going to church. Well, as a constitutional attorney and litigator, I can tell you that courts have routinely overturned these types of bans as soon as you can show that the government allows people to do other things that are similar in nature in terms of the risk, right? So, and that's why I brought up at the beginning the fact that they allow people to participate in protests, they allow people to host house parties. My question to the Navy is, do you somehow think that COVID-19 is not going to come into your house with all the people that you're inviting over to host a big party, but yet somehow it is going to get you if you go to church? You know, is the question I want to ask is why is it that people can bring beers to the house but they can't bring Bibles?
Oh, that's a terrific question. And again, do you think this is something? I mean, there were a lot of holdovers from the Obama administration, and you know, it was just it was a war every day on religious liberty. Do you think that's what we're dealing with here?
I mean, sadly, I do think that's part of it, to be honest. I think, and I also think that there's a lot of fear and misinformation right now, that whoever issued this order, and I actually don't know who it is, I do have it on good authority that it was not that the Navy Chief of Chaplains was not consulted, nor were many of the senior chaplains who serve in the Navy. And how do I know this? Because they are probably more outraged than anyone else, because chaplains happen to be members of the clergy. They are ordained clergy. They're pastors, priests, reverends, etc. They're subject to this order too. They can't go to church. They cannot engage in the First Amendment right of free exercise. And so they're scratching their heads and thinking, well, wait a minute. You know, I'm a leader in my congregation. I'm a member of the clergy, and now I'm banned from going. You know, this is outrageous. And so, you know, it seems to me that somebody made this decision without really thinking through the consequences and what it means. And even if they did think through it, I suspect they didn't even care.
And that's even worse in my estimation. All right. FirstLiberty.org. That's FirstLiberty.org for information on what's happening with the Navy and also a way that you can help support the incredibly important work of First Liberty. Mike, thank you and keep us updated. And we're going to stay on top of this one.
Absolutely. Well, as we head into the 4th of July, I suspect there will be some fireworks to come on this.
No doubt about it. All right. Mike Berry, ladies and gentlemen, First Liberty Institute. They are defending our religious liberty every single day in this country. And I know it's got to be shocking to a lot of people to hear that these kinds of things still happen, but they do. And as much as the Trump administration is on top of all of this, look, every now and again, you're going to get some bad actors. And we certainly have some here. Again, telling these men and women they cannot worship, they cannot go to church, but it's okay to go out there and protest and march in the streets. Simply outrageous. All right, got to take a break here, folks. 844-747-8868 is our number. That, again, number is 844-747-8868. We'll be right back.
It's the Todd Starnes Radio Show.
So earlier today, George Snuffleupagus over at ABC, Good Morning America, had made the announcement that President Trump is done. It's over. He's not going to be reelected. He is not going to get a second term in office, that Joe Biden is going to win in a landslide. And I'm curious to know what you think about that, because there are a lot of people talking and they are very concerned, especially in conservative circles. Do you think the president is done, or do you think that he's going to pull out another big victory in November? 844-747-8868 is our toll-free number. That's 844-747-8868. We're going to the phones in just a moment. But I want to talk about this virus thing here for a moment. We have seen, allegedly, another uptick. And we don't know if this is just because we're getting caught up on the test results. We don't know. But we do know that most of the people, the new people that have been infected, are individuals in their 20s. Now, I just want to ask you a question, because the experts, the medical experts, are stumped. They don't know why so many young people are getting the virus. Is it possible that over the past 2 weeks, you've had tens of thousands of young people gathering in streets, marching around, burning down city blocks, and toppling statues? Is it possible that many of them were not wearing masks and may have possibly infected each other? Just want to throw that out there. But, you know, I smell a rat here, folks, because the economy was actually bouncing back. Businesses were beginning to reopen. Life was beginning to return to normal in many towns and communities around the country. And now all of a sudden, you have an uptick and you have the calls from the blue state governors and mayors to shut everything down again. So I want to go back and just think about this. What was it they originally told us? The medical experts told us we had to stay at home for 2 weeks and the curve would flatten. Just 2 weeks. That's it. Then they came back and said it's going to be another 2 more weeks. And we were like, all right, well, we got to do what we got to do. It's not the best of, but we understand. Then they came back and told us it would be another 2 weeks and then another. And then here we are 3 months into this. And now the medical experts are telling us that we still have to stay at home for an indefinite amount of time. So here's the question. Exactly how long are we going to have to quarantine ourselves? What are we talking about here? Could somebody just be honest with us and tell us what they either do or do not know? Are we talking about 6 months? Are we talking about a year, 2 years? Exactly how long do they expect for us to be quarantined? And how long are these private businesses going to be able to survive if they have to shut down for another month? We're not talking about 6 months, but another month. And I want somebody up on that stage to explain to me why it's okay for the people to protest in the streets, but it's not okay to go to church. Why is it okay for thousands of people to congregate in one of those big box stores like Target or Walmart, but it's not okay for a small mom and pop store to reopen? Why is that? Now, this is a cold, hard reality, folks. But the truth is the country cannot stay locked down indefinitely. We cannot survive like that. Businesses are going to fail. Unemployment is going to skyrocket. The food supplies, you're going to have big trouble. Good luck finding toilet paper. Society is going to fail. If we stay shut down for 5-6 months, this society is going to fail. And America, as we know it, is going to cease to exist. And maybe that's the point of all of it. Maybe that's just the point. All right, let's get to the phones. Joe, Little Rock, Arkansas, listening to us on KARN. Hi, Joe, what's on your mind today?
Oh, those politicians up in D.C., I hear they're supposed to take a two-week vacation here on the 3rd of July for, like, I don't know, 17 days or something, and then come back for a month and then go on vacation again. Now, our nation is in an uproar over this. I mean, not only what you were saying about, you know, it's okay to do this, but it's not okay to do that. But, you know, this nation, with all the uproar, everybody's closing down again. What, I mean, Canada has given their citizens, what, $2,000 each for 6 months? And these guys are mulling it over up in D.C. for another stimulus? What's going on with that? Who do they work for?
Joe, not only that, Joe, they're actually considering a plan to give every citizen a $4,000 vacation tax break. So these morons are so clueless. They think that we've all got plenty of cash so that we can go down to the Redneck Riviera or go to Branson or go to Dollywood and take the whole family on a big vacation as if we have piles of cash sitting around. I don't know who in their right mind thought that was a good idea.
Yeah, I think they forgot who they work for. You know, we the people, as described in the Constitution of the United States of America, and they took an oath on, yeah, they've forgotten about that.
Oh, big time. What do you think they ought to do here, Joe? I mean, you know, because, again, Congress, these guys can't wait to get out of Dodge.
Well, I can't really say it over the air, but the Beatles had it right.
You
want a revolution.
Oh, Joe, you got to... A very pleasant singing voice there, Joe. Yes, that is a concern because I think we are in the middle of a revolution. The other side is already fighting, but our side is not. And that is very troubling. Joe, thank you for the telephone call. You don't think we are? You don't think we're in some sort of a revolution here, folks? Do you understand what's happened? Just within a matter of a couple of months, the left has been able to destroy the incredible economic gains. The left has been able to shut down everything, including our church houses. Shut it all down. You folks out in Southern California right now, you're not even allowed to go out to the local pub to get a beer. It's against the law. The left was able to do this without, well, they burned down a couple of city blocks. But by and large, they had no resistance. We just surrendered our freedom. 844-747-8868, our telephone number. Hey, TodStarnes.com. Check it out. We'll be right back, folks. Gotta love these Hollywood wackadoodles. They have decided to embrace this whole woke movement, even if it means losing their job. So we've had a couple of actors who have decided that they are no longer going to voice black characters, including Family Guy. So the Family Guy actor, a white guy who provides the voice for one of the characters, says, yeah, he's not going to do that. He's not going to do that anymore. Got to get woke. Remember, it was a couple of years ago. They were doing a play, a musical, something about Martin Luther King Jr. I believe this was in England. And the character of MLK was going to be portrayed by a white guy. And all you know what broke loose. Oh, you can't do that. You can't do that. So we're moving to a place now where only black actors can portray black characters. Now, the same is not true in the reverse. Remember the movie Steel Magnolias, which was a quintessential Southern film. And that featured, what, Dolly Parton and a bunch of other folks. They did a remake of that, but all the characters were black. So that's okay. If you want to remake white films with black actors, that's okay. But the reverse is not permissible. And that got me to wondering about something. Are we going to now require that straight actors can only play straight parts and gay actors can only play gay parts? Is that where they're going now, with some sort of a segregated system of casting in Hollywood? I mean, this is just bonkers. Anyway, 844-747-8868. Let's go to the Liberty University Newsmaker line. Our good friend, Debbie D'Souza. Debbie, how's it going?
Hi, Todd. How are you? I'm just seeing all this unfold, and I feel like I'm reading the same book that I read many years ago through the eyes of my family and friends in another country, which actually very similar to the way things are going down.
You know what, Debbie? We're gonna put you on hold. We've got a bad phone connection. So, Caleb, if we can get that worked out. So let's put Debbie on hold. Let's get the phone situation worked out. And, Caleb, just let me know when we can get Debbie back. For those of you who may not know, Debbie D'Souza, married to Dinesh, she and her family escaped from Venezuela. And she is very concerned about what's happening in this country right now, as she observes the attacks on our freedoms and the attempt to silence anyone who opposes the Black Lives Matter movement. By the way, protesters in Washington, D.C. went to the home of Jeff Bezos. He's the Amazon owner, and he owns the Washington Post. He's a lefty. The protesters set up a guillotine in front of his home, as in chop your head off guillotine. Over the weekend, you had a number of protesters in Beverly Hills that were marching through the streets chanting, "Eat the rich." I think we ought to take these people seriously. I don't know about you. All right, let's go to the phones while we wait to reestablish connections with Debbie, our good friend from Rhode Island, Miss Carlotta. Hello, Carlotta. What's on your mind today?
Hi, sweetie. You know, this is serious. I don't think most people associate that the military is as much a part of the deep state as anything else. And Victor Davis Hanson said on Sebastian Gorka's show Friday, right after your show, he was interviewed, and he said, it's common knowledge that President Trump is being baited to call in the National Guard. And the president is showing great resistance by not doing that, because people will say, oh, he overreacted, whatever. But Victor Davis Hanson said the real trap is that the Joint Chiefs will not obey him, and then his presidency is over.
So you think that's the real issue here, is the Joint Chiefs would step in and say, we're not going to obey those orders?
It's something to think about.
Carlotta, I hate to say this, but you may have a point there. We know that the president has a lot of enemies within the military, and these were appointees of Barack Obama that are still there. They're trying to root all of them out, but there are a lot of leftists in the military. You know, Carlotta, on Friday's show, I referenced a story, and I wrote about this several years ago in one of my books, where the military during the Obama administration, they were actually teaching every single officer that white people were responsible for all the problems in the world. That kind of stuff, it doesn't end well. It just does not. I mean, you're demonizing a group of people based on the color of their skin. Carlotta, thank you for the call. Something to think about. I understand we've got Debbie D'Souza back on the line. Debbie, we have you.
Yes, I hope you can hear me better. Can you?
Yes, it's a great signal. So, Debbie, we set the stage, and I told folks that you and your family escaped Venezuela. And I'm very curious, when you see what's happening in America right now, what concerns you?
Well, so the same basic tactics are being used to dismantle capitalism and what this country was built on. The exact same thing. I don't know if people understand this or are aware of this, but Hugo Chavez also had a beef with any statue that basically, or any monument that had a so-called white settler or conqueror. And he allowed for people to go and just remove them, throw paint on them, do whatever they wanted to them, just dismantle them. And all of this was due to the white hatred, the hatred of the white man, and the fact that he felt like the indigenous and the Afro-Venezuelans were basically second-class citizens, as he put it. Having been born in Venezuela and lived there my early childhood till I was 10, I don't remember this ever being the case. I don't ever remember seeing someone and going, oh, they're this color, or oh, they're from here, or oh, they're from there. It was a multicultural society that was pretty homogeneous, and there was really no animosity between people, as far as I could tell. And even, you know, as I said, my family, half of my family stayed there. They never, ever talked about it until Hugo Chavez decided that it was an issue. And so I see the same type of rhetoric and hatred happening here. And it's not surprising that all of this is actually stems from Marxist roots. Hugo Chavez was a staunch Marxist, loved Karl Marx. That was kind of his go-to person, you know, to read and quote and all of that. And so all of this is rooted in division. So you have to divide and conquer, and that's what these people are trying to do.
By the way, just a few seconds ago, Kayleigh McEnany made an announcement at the White House press briefing. More than 100 anarchists have been arrested in connection with these attacks on the monument. So we just have to hope that they are brought to justice and they get, you know, get 10 years behind bars.
Oh, this would be amazing. This would be really, really good. But Todd, I have to tell you, if we were not in charge of this government right now, if we were not, you know, if we didn't have a Republican president, let me just tell you, this would be not only accepted, but encouraged. We would all have to be very, very afraid.
Oh, I have no doubt about that. And honestly, and I thought your husband really framed this so accurately, that the 2020 election is whether or not we become the United States of Socialism.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely correct. It's not just an attack on our free enterprise and our capitalism. It's an attack on everything we hold dear, including our religion, including our Second Amendment, including our First Amendment. It's an attack on everything we hold dear in this country. Venezuelans came to this country to flee what is now happening in this country. So it's 2020 election. I can't even emphasize how important it is to go vote red, I mean, across the board, because as you can see, some of these mayors that had absolutely no problem with protesters and looters coming out in thousands of numbers, you know, in the city, now are saying that, you know, because of COVID, you have to stay in your house. But they had absolutely no problem the other way. So it's very telling, very, very telling what their agenda is.
All right, Debbie, we're going to have to leave it there. We are up against a hard break. Debbie, we always appreciate your great words. Debbie D'Souza, ladies and gentlemen. Folks, we do have to take a break. We'll be right back.
It's the Todd Starnes Radio Show.
right, big news coming out of the state of Mississippi. And coming up in the next hour, we're going to be talking with Frank Corder from YallPolitics.com about the Mississippi state flag. And Liz Harrington is going to drop by. We're going to check in on the 2020 presidential race and also a lot of these down ballot races around the country. There are even rumblings that Texas could go blue. Not too sure about that, but we'll check in with Liz and ask her about that. 844-747-8868. Let's go to Central Arkansas. Steve listening to us on KARN. Hi, Steve. What's going on?
Hey, Todd. You caught my ear a while ago about the increase in COVID cases. This has been on my mind for a while. What have they done so far in handling this pandemic situation that leads us to believe we could even trust what they're telling us about the test numbers? I mean, they cranked these tests out in a matter of weeks, and all of a sudden we went from not even knowing what the virus is, that we can run all these tests on them and stuff and cranking numbers out. Every number, everything they have said about this thing from the time it started almost has ended up being proved a lie, or they backed off on and reversed 180 degrees themselves and everything else. I'm getting to wonder about the accuracy of the test and the numbers they're giving out there. Are they even legitimate?
Yeah, that's a good question. You know, a couple of weeks ago, there was a big story out of Dallas where they stopped using a lab because all of these results were coming back and they were testing positive for the virus, but it turns out they did not have the virus. So the numbers were tainted, and we're talking about, 14,000 cases in Texas. And we do know, Steve, that a lot of these coronavirus deaths were not because of coronavirus. There was some sort of a pre-existing condition, and many states will not differentiate between the two. They're not doing that here in Tennessee, where we broadcast this radio program. They will not tell you, okay, these are the people that died strictly from the virus, and here's somebody who had, you know, heart disease or was, you know, in a nursing home. They won't do that.
I've also heard that some of these increased hospitalizations are not COVID hospitalizations. They're just hospitalizations that increase because they shut the dang hospitals down for 3 months. And people are coming back to get their voluntary, surgeries and types. So, of course, you had a boom in hospitalizations. They went
elective
from empty to being opened back up.
Well, you're talking about the elective surgery, Steve, and you're right. That was a big deal because most hospitals around the country, they stopped doing elective surgeries. And you're right. There's a backup here. Steve, what do you think is really going on? What's your gut telling you about all of this?
My gut's telling me this is my base question. If somebody could answer this for me, then I might start having a little bit of more faith in what I'm being told. Why are we treating this virus differently than we have ever treated a virus outbreak in human history? If they can explain how they think they're going to keep us from getting this virus by quarantining the healthy, and explain that to me logically where I can understand it, then I might start believing some of the other stuff. When you start something out on a lie, Todd, the trouble is, to keep it going, you got to keep telling more lies and more lies. And then you get to the point where you can't keep up with what's a lie and what's the truth. And I think that's where we're at right now. I'm treating this myself personally just like I treat a flu season.
Do you wear a mask, Steve? Do you, when you go out to the store?
No. All a mask is a sheet marker. I'll tell you exactly what a mask is. When sheep ranchers doctor and shear their sheep, they take a dye and they mark them so they can look out in a pen of sheep and see which ones they've doctored and which ones they've treated and the ones they hadn't. These masks, they can look on there. I mean, we've got video cameras all over these countries, webcams and everything. These mayors can sit and look at the webcams and look at the number of people wearing masks and pat their self on the back and say, boy, I'm doing a good job. Look at all the sheep I have out here in my city. The last 20 years I've worked, Todd, I went through respirator training every year for 20 years. So I don't claim to be a virologist or any type of health expert, but I do know a little about respiratory protection. And everything I was ever taught in that training is contradictory to what they're telling you about these dust masks they have people wearing. What we were always told in training is the mask people are wearing now protects you from stuff you can see with your naked eye, like dust. They're absolutely useless for anything else.
Well, of course, and that's what they told us early on, and then they changed their minds. So, again, I'm with you. I don't think you can trust. I don't think they know what they're dealing with. I don't think they really know what's going on, and I think we've got a lot of people in the medical community that want to take out this president, and that's what they're doing. They're playing politics with all this. Hey, thank you for the call. Always good hearing from you. And folks, we'll open up the phone lines in the next hour as well. I have a question for you. Men listening to this radio program, would you wear makeup? If you're a man listening to this radio program, would you wear makeup? And ladies, I have a question for you. Would you date or marry a man who wears makeup? Caleb, do you wear makeup?
I do not. I was in a play in middle school and they had to put it on me for that, but that's the only time in my life I've ever worn it.
I think that's permissible. So CVS, which is the country's largest drugstore chain, is making a big decision. They have decided they are going to sell men's cosmetics. And one of the things they're going to offer is a foundation for men. What is the foundation? I'm not sure what that is. Ladies, you might be able to help us out here. We're sort of in uncharted waters. They're also going to offer dazzling eyeshadows. Is that the stuff that goes on top of the eyelid?
Sounds like the dazzling part is in the eye of the beholder.
Also, you're going to be able to paint your nails, and I guess that goes for the toenails.
I don't understand why all this stuff needs to be male-specific. If you want to do the makeup thing, don't you just buy the women's stuff? Is that not good enough?
Well, it seems to. You're right. I mean, it sounds sexist. About a third of American men under the age of 45 say they would consider trying makeup. I would love to hear from someone who wears makeup, who's a dude. 844-747-8868 is our toll-free number. That's 844-747-8868. You know, I don't think Joe from LJ wears makeup. I'm just going to say, going out a little bit.